better life, and it's right. not negating responsibility, but it's entering into our right. lives from a place totally. Of rest and a place of Sabbath with the Lord. Like yep. the first things that Adam and Eve ever did was rest with God on the Sabbath before they did anything else. It was like, we're going to rest mm-hmm. with God. And so we operate from that place
so
of,
good.
I want to come into my life from this place of resting with Him.
Yeah. Drink that tea.
Did it.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Greater Works Podcast. Nick Redd here in studios with Bridget Pinsano, sipping on her tea to help out her sore throat. Bridget,
I'm back.
Welcome.
Yeah, you missed me last week.
Yeah, it was me by myself for 5 minutes in studios.
This is better.
I said, this is all the time I got.
This is great. You did it, though. Yeah, but I'm glad to be back here with you. It's good. Yeah, I'm trying to quit smoking. That's a joke, but I do have... Can you hear it right now?
You should have let that one sit out there a little bit.
Just a little bit longer.
Have you ever smoked a cigarette?
Yes, I have. Not well.
How old were you when you first smoked a cigarette?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I think college. Maybe, well, I went to college when I was 17, so I'm going to say 17.
Okay.
But here's the thing. So my dad, when I was growing up, my dad was a smoker. He's no longer a smoker, but he would smoke only outside.
Okay.
And he would smoke Marlboros. Is that right? Yeah, the Marlboro Man.
It's a funny word to say. Kind of like rural.
It rolls off your tongue in a particular way. But I, because of that, this is funny. I love the smell of cigarette smoke.
Wild.
It is like oddly comforting for me, particularly like that, like cigarette smoke in general, but that kind of cigarette smoke I love. Which is not probably healthy or good, but I don't like smoking them, but I just really enjoy the smell. So I think when I was in college and whoever offered mm-hmm. me, somebody was smoking, one of my friends,
yep.
and I was like, sure, I'll try that. Don't do this, kids. Because what my dad always told me, he's like,
this is 18 and older podcast
one,
here.
One will, like one Ken has, it has the ability to get you hooked. Like if you try one, you might be addicted. I don't know. Maybe they just
that's
say that
a
to scare
bold
you.
Statement.
Maybe that. Do I just still believe what my parents tell me? But anyway, I remember trying one because I honestly just liked the smell and the taste, but I didn't like inhale. And whoever I was with like gave me a really hard time because I didn't smoke it right. But it's okay because I just liked the smell. But no, I don't smoke.
Interesting.
But I like the smell.
Do you think it is? And this is kind of going a little deep, but like because of the power of a father?
I have no idea.
You know what I'm saying?
I have not thought about
like,
that.
It probably reminds, I mean, you mentioned your dad is the one who smoked.
Right, yeah. It definitely reminds me of him growing up and when he would be outside smoking,
yeah.
I might like be around him. Anyway.
Interesting.
There you go. Anyways. So if I'm ever in a public space and I smell that, I'm like, yeah. Oh, this just is good.
Well,
It's like people who, I have friends who love the smell of gasoline.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, so you're one of those weird people.
Yeah. No, I first time I smoked a cigarette was down in Mexico with Opus Dei. So before I did any other bad stuff, I was 16 years old down in Mexico.
This is the Greater Works Podcast.
Yeah, right. No, we went down there for 3 weeks after my sophomore year of high school with Opus Dei to build a house and to teach English to little kids. It was awesome.
Wow. Wait, how old are you?
16.
Nice.
Teaching English after 2 years of high school English. It was laughable, but it was awesome.
I'm sure you did well.
Oh, you were forced to speak. The language barrier is wild.
Yeah.
It's just so fascinating how you, and then you have to try to communicate with another person.
Wow.
We were off in this old sugarcane plantation. It was an old sugarcane plantation that now was an Opus Dei center, but it was awesome. All the kids we're the St. Louis group, all the kids from DC, all the high schoolers smoked. There's like this culture, like this Spanish culture in Opus Dei that they still smoke a lot of cigarettes and it was kind of cool, but I smoked one. It was a Marlboro Red, cowboy killer. You can buy like three packs for like 10 pesos, which is like a dollar back then. So three packs for a buck back in high school. So
there you go. Wow.
I was not hooked after one.
You
I actually
not.
Did
good.
Not like it at all.
I see. I was not either. But
so, thanks for joining us, everybody, today. That's the show. Have a good
goodness.
One. We will see you next week.
No, but with the language barrier, did you know any Spanish at the time?
2 years, high school Spanish.
You had 2 years of high school Spanish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're just forced. I remember we were playing this game. It was kind of like racquetball, kind of like squash, kind of like tennis. There was a net. It was in this old big stone building. And on the other side, the wall was probably like 25 feet high. We hit a ball. It was kind of like a tennis ball, but it was kind of like a squash ball. I don't know what it was, but we hit it over the wall and we had to go around. We ultimately had to climb the stone wall to get it. It was in the soccer field. On the top of every one of their walls was broken glass to like protect people. Like, we have barbed wire, they have broken glass. And I'm climbing up this wall and this guy pulls over and he gets out of his car and he's asking me like all these questions, like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I don't really speak English. But anyways, I remember when he was asking me, he says, ¿Tienes llave? Like, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. But I realized he was talking about a key.
You're doing the hand motion of a key turning.
Of putting a key in a lock and turning it.
Yeah.
And I learned, that's key. So llave, key. No tengo llave. Pero mi pelota está allá. And I was like, it's cool. You're forced to learn.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with the language and the culture back then. Not that's smoking cool. cigarettes, but Mexican people, their hospitality, the food, the language.
And the language. Yeah. That's awesome. I love what our brains are capable of.
Amazing.
Like, you just immerse yourself in another language and you're forced to learn it if you don't know it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing in my experience, like how little time it takes to pick it up. Like if you're just thrown in, you have no other option. You're going to figure out how to communicate one way or another.
That's wild. Every day, Tua is learning new phrases, new words. This past week was colors. She can't stop coloring now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of, congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're back in studios for the first time since you and Teresa have had little Judith.
Yep.
Judith Esther, dad of two girls.
Yep.
Welcome to the world, baby
Bring
girl.
Bring it on. Yeah.
So, you were full-time dad these last 2 weeks with Tua while Teresa was recovering with Judith. I mean, you helped watch them both, I'm sure, but...
No, that's right. Teresa is the one that... I mean, I wake up in the middle of the night, but not really. I'm like, I wake up, then I'm like, okay, babe, my nipples don't work. You got this.
You got this one.
And she's great about it. But we call her Judith. We call her Esther sometimes. We've called her Edith. I call her Tua a lot. Her name is not Edith. Eddie is a nickname for Esther. Eddie Hillesum, which Jacques Philippe quotes her a lot. She was a Danish Jewish woman. She was awesome. But Tua can not really pronounce Judith for some reason, which I totally forgot that that's a deuterocanonical book. Like, that's one of the seven like Catholic books.
Oh, I actually,
like Tobit.
I don't know if I knew that for sure.
Yeah. Maccabees, which we're going through right now.
I knew about Maccabees, but
yeah. But she can't say Judith, we'll say, can you say Eddie? And she'll say Etty. And sometimes we'll say, can you say Judith? And she'll just say Etty. So she says Eddie, kind of like her grandpa, Ed Gross. Shout out, Ed. But it was, so this is going to kind of dovetail into our conversation for today, kind of about soul care is what we want to talk about. Caring for your soul. And what really matters. And we are rushing around doing all the urgent things. And it's not good for our soul and for our humanity. And it was a neat experience. So maybe I could just share a little bit what I learned.
Do.
So I had 2 weeks of paternity leave and I did fairly good with that. My goal was to have no scheduled meetings, to be available if people needed stuff, but no scheduled meetings. I didn't realize how much work it would actually be to be on full-time Tua duty, right? As I mentioned in, I think, last week's brief intro, that it's man-to-man coverage, man-to-man D, and Teresa's doing zone defense now. But Teresa has Judith, and I'm full-time daddy duty with Tua. The thing is I had all these plans and expectations of what I was going to do during my paternity leave. I was finally going to clean up the garage and build my shelves on the wall and organize stuff. And I was going to take care of some seeding of the grass that I wanted to do and all sorts of things. And sometimes I would do stuff with Tua that was not bad. Like, I'd throw her on a hiking backpack and I'd mow the lawn. Like, that's great. You know, like the lawn needs mowed. Tua,
here's your outside time.
You're coming with me. But to a fault, like, where it was bad. I didn't realize it till Friday of the first week. I was not present at all with anything I was doing. I was doing at least two things at once. While regularly like checking my phone, I was trying to build the shelves. I had two in the garage. She was grabbing all the screws and handing them to me, but then making a mess. And I was like, I wasn't really getting frustrated with her, but I realized after a few days, like my brain was just all over the map. Like I wasn't ever 100% present with my baby girl. And at the end of the first week, Teresa, I forget how it came up, but we were talking and I was kind of like I was training my brain to just be all over the place, not present, doing one thing at a time. And that's the same brain I take into my personal prayer, into mental prayer, into meditation, into contemplation. It's the same brain I take into dinner time conversation. And like, I was just all over.
So you could tell a difference. Not only when you were with Tua, but then in all these other parts of your life as
100%,
well.
100%. Just in kind of like this like subtle underlying agitation. I wouldn't say frustration, but just dis-ease. A lack of peace for sure. And we talked about it. And then I went home for my buddy's wedding. Shout out to Joe Hayne. I FaceTimed him this morning. He's over in Portugal, actually. So I called him. He answered.
You FaceTimed him on his honeymoon?
I called him because I didn't know if he was back on the grid yet, because we connect briefly every morning on Wednesday morning. Last week we didn't because I knew he was on his honeymoon in Portugal. This week I'm like, oh, we didn't talk about it. So I just called him at 7:15 and he picks up. I'm like, hey, man, are you back in the States? He's like, no, man, I'm still in Portugal. He goes, let me FaceTime you. And he's on this volcano 1,000 miles off. He said 1,000 miles off the coast of Portugal, that they built this like city on this volcano. And there's, he just showed me like there was this like courtyard where all these like fumes were just coming out of the ground. It was unbelievable. I don't know the name of the place, but it was awesome. He's like, Nick,
do you have to wear like special shoes?
You got to come here. No, they were on stone, like a stone street, but then like it was like a old city. Old stone, everything.
I
but
believe
there were,
you, but in my imagination, this sounds make-believe.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Like, we got to look it up and maybe throw it in the show notes. I don't know, but.
We'll all take a trip there.
So I was home for his wedding, and Teresa and I talked, and I was really convicted that I was not really being a good dad. And I realized upon reflecting that, okay, I'm not a babysitter. I'm a parent, and a babysitter is like, so the call for me in this paternity leave isn't to just entertain Tua the entire time and to be fully like present with her at all times. But if I'm never present with her by the halfway through the day, she's going to realize this. No one's ever with me. Dad's not with me. Mom's not with me. She's certainly not with me. She's in bed, and she starts getting frustrated by the end of the day. And so like what if I just gave her to start the morning after breakfast, just undivided attention for an hour and just waste time with Tua.
Wow.
And then she can play by herself for a while. She can just be by herself. And so the second week was just incredibly life-giving.
Wow.
Super difficult. That this part of my dad heart that hasn't really been exercised that well recently of being present, wasting time, like literally wasting time with Tua, like not producing anything, not being efficient at anything. I, by faith, I know will bear fruit in, you know, the years to come of just dad being present with daughter.
Wow.
But just for my own soul, like what, like, don't look at the phone. Don't be distracted. Just, it's this constant, it's like this battle of just presence, presence, quote, reading this book with her, going on a walk that takes forever to walk around the block if we're actually walking, and she's just grabbing leaves and she'll just stare at a leaf. And I get down on her level and I look at that leaf. I'm like, you know what? This leaf is actually really amazing. It's red and orange and part of it's still green and it's got all these veins flowing through it. I'm like, I haven't looked at a leaf in, I don't know, 20 plus years, like literally just taking 1 minute. and stare and hold this real object that did something to like my soul. Hmm. Like, or we were at the park the other day and she just goes up to this tree and she says, and she was saying, tree, tree. And I said, yeah, this is bark. And she goes, bark, bark. And she said, like, she goes, puppy. I'm like, oh, kind of cute. Different kind of bark, but she's like touching it. And I get down on her level and I'm like, and if I was doing this by myself, this 35 year old man down on his knees, like just touching this bark, it would look pretty weird. But it just, I was like, whoa, this bark is actually kind of cool.
Wow.
And I'm in a world that's so fast paced and so all about production and utility. And even prayer time, like what did I get out of my prayer time? Or did I get an answer? Or did I get clarity on a decision? But that's actually not what it's about.
Wow.
Did I waste time with Jesus?
That's good.
Did I waste time with my family? It was a perspective shifting experience, convicting in week one, powerfully life-giving in week two, and a muscle that I'm going to keep needing to exercise moving forward. But like, how can I be a fully present with you right now as we're having this conversation when there's a bunch of to-dos to do? There's a bunch of tasks we have to, you know, open loops, projects that still need to be done, emails that still need to be checked. But like, there's something that happens when you're present and you encounter. And then there's a lot of conversation we could have here, a lot of different ways we could go with this, but just touching the real.
Wow.
Like earthing, you know, that's a whole nother.
Yeah, look that up, people. That's fun.
Sounds new agey, but it's pretty freaking sweet.
Science.
Yeah, so good. And practices that I need to keep practicing.
I was gonna ask, like, if you could maybe give us a few of like what are some things that were highlighted for you in that time of being fully present with Tua, with your family, that you can take into kind of a new normal or life now back to reality, as Eminem says.
That's right. Yeah. A few things that come to mind. One is I need more beauty in my life. And like synonymous kind of with that is I need more of the real. I need like the kind of books even I read. I love nonfiction. I used to be addicted to the self-help genre. I love me a good spiritual read. Podcasts. I love, you know, podcasts that actually I can have solid, clear takeaways rather than story. Like, I need more story in my life and beauty in my life. That whatever I'm feeding myself on, I need, my diet needs to consist of more beauty.
Wow.
Like beautiful music. My dad recently gave me like 250 of his old vinyls because he's like, these are just sitting in my
sweet.
Yeah. And so I want to get a little, I need to play them somehow, but just playing last Easter, my father-in-law emailed Teresa and myself, maybe all the grandkids, and they listened for like, I don't know how long it is. I think it's like 2 hours, like Handel's Messiah. They just sat and listened to it, not on a phone because that's kind of tingy, but on a nice speaker. Listen to Handel's Messiah and let it have its effect on your soul.
Wow.
And like, I'm like, man, I don't think I could do 2 hours.
Yeah.
Even 30 minutes would be a battle. But to like, and then my brain's just probably being totally distracted and my thinking all sorts of things. But like this act of war to be present, to let, you know, creation have its effect. And I know I'm in suburbia, but there's still like, literally, we mentioned earthing earlier, but like earthing is basically touching the earth with your feet.
Which is kind of bizarre that we have to have a term for that.
Yeah.
And that it's not just a part of our normal reality.
Yeah.
Like to actually go outside without shoes on, which I did all the time when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And just, let yourself touch nature.
Yeah. And there's a whole science to it, and it recalibrates your electromagnetic field, and it lowers inflammation, like all this stuff. Though I was telling my dad about this last week. He's like, that sounds super new agey. I'm like, I know, Dad, but what if God, the creator, set it up this way? And it's actually how it's supposed to be. But we spend like, I don't know, 70 or 90% of our time inside of our house as adults are inside, even if it's inside the car.
Yeah.
Like we're inside of a car. And I think in the book Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, which is my dad loved that growing up. And
it's a great title.
Yeah, great book. Actually, I don't know if I recommend it now. I read it like 15 years ago, but it's about this grandson and this grandpa and they travel across the country. And they make this comment on like when you're in a car, it's still as if everything's a TV.
Huh.
And it's all a screen and it's not real. It actually is not having its effect on your humanity, on your soul and the need. I don't know if you've ever ridden a motorcycle, people, or even a bicycle, but just when you stop or you're just riding, like the wind is blowing on you.
Good.
It's just is something that isn't tangibly producing or having production in your life or increasing your bank account, but it is increasing your quality of life. So that's one thing is I need more beauty in my life. I need more of the real in my life. And just that whole wasting time.
Yeah.
Like just lingering. I don't linger well. There's certain people that I know that are very just at ease and they're comfortable and they'll come into a room and maybe to a fault, they'll linger. And I'm like, okay, are you done? But in those other people that are like, they don't linger well. And they're always kind of like, oh, am I annoying you? Am I like breaking into your space? And then I'm kind of like at peace and
sure.
I don't know if that makes sense, but
two extremes kind of.
Yeah. So wanting to linger more and a sincere curiosity about people, not for the sake of anything other than like, I want to learn Tua, who are you? And I still don't even know Tua. Like I'm learning who she is.
It's amazing.
Judith Esther, I certainly don't know who she is. Like, what's your personality?
Yeah, who's she going to be?
Who are you?
The name like that, who is she going to be?
Right? Chopping off the heads of generals, influencing kings. Let's go. So, yeah, that's...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It resonates. I think, it's been a theme in my own life in the last couple months. I would say just the theme of rest and entering into rest and how to do that. And it doesn't necessarily mean doing less. It can mean doing less depending on, I guess, the season. But even more so, like, what is the posture that I'm being invited into?
Right.
And I remember probably one of the more intimate, like, prayer experiences I've had with Jesus happened in the last couple months. And I won't share the whole thing, but it just was this experience of, like, his presence with me in a way that I haven't experienced before. And what I just knew from this experience was like, there's nowhere that he has to be. And there's nowhere that I have to be.
Mm.
And he's not missing out on anything by being here with me. And I'm not missing out on anything by being here with him.
Yeah.
And it was just this experience of like, we're just with each other. And there's literally nothing else that is like, that either of us are thinking of.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that makes sense. It's kind of hard to translate into like 100%. The actual world. But
it's a perspective shift. It's like at the end of your life, like what's going to matter? Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I haven't been doing this successfully, but the desire and the hope is to begin my prayer time every day from that posture and from that position of just recalling like what that experience was like. Of just the rest with Jesus, and to start my prayer time from that place, and then to enter into my day, the rest of my day from that place of just rest with him.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying you would go back to that prayer experience and you would draw from that and go back in that, like imagine that again be there and let that have its effect on you.
Right, so in an imaginative prayer experience, yeah, absolutely, just trying to recall
right.
That first encounter and like, what did that feel like? And I have a pretty active imagination, which is, I think, uncommon for engineers. Mm-hmm. I think whenever I tell people, yeah, I studied engineering and I also have an imagination, they're surprised. Wait, you can actually see things in your head? I know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But for me, yeah, in my active imagination, I'm just like, I picture myself there.
Yeah.
There's a specific scene that I often go to with Jesus. And so I'm like picturing that scene in my head. Yeah. And what am I hearing? Like, what are the sounds around me? What are like, what yeah. are, what is the smell? Like, if I can, like, what do I feel? Like tangibly touch. And then just, yeah, picturing him next to me and what is our encounter right. like, and what is my feeling from my encounter with him. And so going back to that place in my prayer at the beginning of my prayer every day.
Yeah.
And then allowing that, because I think like the fruit of that is like still real, mm-hmm. though it was just one, that one experience, like to go back to that place and mm-hmm. then feed on it. I mm-hmm. think in my prayer allows me to then try and enter back right. into that and even just recall the truth. Like I think for me in that there's actually truth that the Lord is trying to teach me that I actually might miss if I don't keep going back to it.
Mm.
And not like a, oh, be careful, you don't want to miss it, but just like genuinely, no, the Lord has something he wants to show me here. And I know that I haven't like gathered it all yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think to go keep going back to that place. But yeah, I've just had like, I think for me, I've had like a few different experiences again over the last couple months. This is a theme that the Lord is doing, but just some opportunities to go away. We went on, you were on men's retreat. I was on women's retreat the first weekend in October. And mm-hmm. we went to a lodge in the middle of nowhere, Arkansas. That was yeah. amazing. And it just was peaceful and quiet yep. and still and
yep.
to put my phone down for right. a long time. And then I actually got to go on vacation with my family for a couple of weeks
mm-hmm.
and had my phone on airplane mode most of the time.
Yeah.
Or like the do not disturb auto respond. Like you can put an auto respond. So I think good. You taught me this mm-hmm. on your phone. So I did that.
Yeah.
So I don't have to check it or engage anything yeah. that's like not yeah. an emergency.
Yeah.
And then just in the last few weeks, Noelle, my roommate and I went to this little Airbnb. I highly recommend in the like smack dab in the middle of Kansas. But there's this beautiful lake called Wilson Lake. It's probably like 3.5 hours away, but there's like some rock formations there, which is kind of random because like where, why would you see rock formations in Kansas?
What? Why are they there?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. But anyway, one of our friends found a picture of them once and we're like, we got to go. And so we found this little Airbnb nearby and it just is like a converted milk house from an old dairy farm in the middle of a field. And on the inside, it looks like a log cabin. It's really perfect for just about two people. Any okay. more than that, it would be kind of crowded. But like, again, just in the middle of nowhere. And I grew up in the middle of nowhere, Minnesota is what I call it. And so like our closest neighbors growing up were 2 miles away.
Yeah.
We were basically in the middle of a field. And so for me going to this little Airbnb, it's like, wow, this feels like home. But just being able to see
yeah.
the stars at night, mm-hmm. like, yeah, we can kind of see the stars here in the city.
Mm-hmm.
But gosh, when you get out
wow.
where there's no light pollution
yep.
and there's no clouds and you can see the Milky Way and you can
yeah.
see all the constellations and you can see, like, I think I saw between 5 and 7 shooting stars each night just because mm-hmm. you can see them because mm-hmm. they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But we normally can't see them with all the
yeah.
light pollution. So things
yeah.
like that where I'm like, how am I re-engaging
right.
the world?
Right.
Like that the Lord created, like the earth.
Right. Right.
And not in like a weird earthy
no.
new age way.
No,
but like
this is Catholic anthropology though. Like
yeah.
there is one of the wedges that was driven through because due to original sin was between humans and creation.
Hmm. Wow.
And all creation is longing for the revelation of the children of God, for
yeah.
us to come to know who we are, and the lion will lie down with the lamb, and like we're called to in humans, humus create it is poetic imagery. Humans were created from the earth, but there's something actually about all created matter,
right?
You know, and science is proving what poetically scripture has pointed to of this connection between,
mm-hmm.
I mean, us and whether it's the earthing thing, but it's like, it's real. It's this holistic approach to a human or a Catholic approach to being whole, to being universal, to like, and it's not just this ethereal, abstract, angelic, spirit-filled, which is good, approach to humanity, but actually God cares about your physical humanity.
Hmm.
And we believe in the resurrection of the body someday. And how am I caring for my brain?
Right.
For my health, for this temple that you cannot separate the body, soul, spirit, will, intellect, all divinely and are intricately woven together. But man, It's good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. So I even noticed, like, when we came back from that cabin in the middle of the field or the milk house.
Yeah.
Like, my it's like my, it was like, you know, a weekend. We left on Friday, got back on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But it was my attention had been reset and I noticed it. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And then the question of, like, how can I bring this back into my normal week? And for me, like, practically, to maybe just hop into some practicals here, it's like, well, a couple of years ago now, we had an SPO retreat where it was a non-technology retreat. So we collected everybody's phones or screens at the beginning. And something that I, like, an action item I took away from that was to buy an actual alarm clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have a docking station for my phone, like, not in my room.
Yep.
And so just, and I had, like, there's been seasons where I've been in and out of that habit. I still have my alarm clock, but sometimes I'll, like, well, I'll just keep my phone in the room. But then I always grab it in the morning if it's nearby. Uh-huh. And so I think just, like, increasing my discipline of, like, no, Bridget, you're not going to have your phone in your room at night or in the morning. Things like that. Yep. Or, like, how much am I looking at my phone when I need to versus when I don't need to? So I think for me it's mainly the phone, but then I feel like we're just kind of, what's that expression where you hit a dead horse?
Is
that
beat
a dead horse? Yeah. I think I'm beating a dead horse when I keep talking about the phone, but it's like a real thing for me.
It's a horrible image when you really start to think about it. That's,
I'm just, images actually of, like, The Godfather, which is, there's like a dead horse there. Okay. I digress.
Yeah, that's horrible.
So practicals, but there are these experiences of rest. Yeah. And restoration and rejuvenation and restoring our humanity, which, I mean, gosh, people, if you're listening and you can just, I'm sure we've all experienced what this is like, whether it's like, maybe it's a morning for 2 hours where you're like, man, I got extra time this morning that I didn't know that I would have. And and what is that experience like? And how do we cultivate that throughout our life? And it's not negating responsibility, but it's entering into our lives from a place of rest and a place of Sabbath with the Lord. Like the first things that Adam and Eve ever did was rest with God on the Sabbath before they did anything else. It's like, we're going to rest with God. And so we operate from that place.
So good.
I want to come into my life from this place of resting with Him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in closing here, John Eldridge, in his book, we were talking about this actually earlier in his book, Get Your Life Back. He talks about what we so often reach for is relief, but what we need is restoration. Like, there's so many things that this world offers that will just relieve you of all the stuff that you're carrying and the anxiety and the all the stuff that we carry that we pick up. He goes, but what the Lord has for you is restoration, and we need restoration. So in conclusion, people, go hug a tree. Go pick up some leaves. If you haven't put them all in your bags and the city didn't pick them up yet, go, which, by the way, it's better to grind them up and leave them in your yard. It's better for the soil. It's better for the earth. better for your trees. Go waste time with a kid. Dostoevsky says,
especially one that you know.
Yes.
Preferably.
Yes. Good clarification. Dostoevsky says that the soul is healed by being with children. And until you've held a 2.5-week-old, which, by the way, feel free to come over and hold little Judith Esther, like, you don't know what that experience is like. Like, a little human like that ministers to you. Waste time with people. Engage reality. Roll down the windows until it's actually mid-December. Why not roll them down for a bit? Live in your humanity and into creation, because God cares about it. He cares about your soul. He cares about your mind and your brain, and He wants us to get our lives back. So that's our prayer for you all, that we just pause and breathe and can be present with our own soul, with our own self, with our own humanity, and with others. So that's all we got this week, guys. Thanks again for joining. Happy Thanksgiving this week.
Woo!
Oh man, might all your buttons be pressed by being with family, and may you love them still.
Glory. Amen.
God bless you guys. See you next time.